forever grateful and appreciative for everyone that's here today. And as I said last week, the title of our lesson this morning is Formulas from God. This may be a series for a little bit. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But obviously, as you can see up there, there's some formulas up there. And as I Googled it a little bit, obviously, there's a lot of different perspectives of formulas. I hadn't thought about it. Obviously, your mathematical and your engineering and your science formulas. And it just goes on and on and on, you know. And if you're not quite into this type of formulas, you know, basically, people are looking in, you know, if you look at what a formula does, it helps you find something out, potentially. That's my interpretation, okay? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things in life I tried to understand. I'm still trying to understand. There's a lot of formulas I'm trying to work out. Now, Lucas, I've learned about formulas, you know, by watching Lucas go through some of his classes and some of the things he does. And we use a lot of formulas in our lives for an end result, for an understanding. Formulas from God typically all pertain to us being able to be obedient to Him or to help our hearts be right with Him. As in our passage of our scripture for our lesson this morning, the things that I have highlighted, I would like for us to consider as formulas for us in our hearts. First off, it says pray for us. Not only asking for prayers, but being able to pray. Prayer is a big formula in our hearts being right with God. Having confidence in the Lord concerning you, concerning us, concerning ourselves, is a big part of us. Confidence in His forgiveness, His love, His patience, the truth of His word, in His being. I ask you, what happens to a person that doesn't have confidence in God? What happens? That part of the formula is missing. Then he becomes confident in something else, the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of himself or herself. Or they lose confidence in everything and they give up 100% because they don't have a confidence in God. That you do and will do the things we command you. Now, boy, you know, you can ask my wife. I don't like to be told to do stuff. She has a whole list that she would like to tell me to do. I guarantee you. But she has confidence in the Lord and she prays for me that I would do those on my own. Okay? But folks, from a perspective of a formula in our lives, each and every day, if prayer is not part of the formula of us in our hearts, we need to examine ourselves. If we don't start each day in our lives with confidence in God and His holy word and His righteousness and His love for us, you'll find it very hard to do and to will the things that has been commanded us. You'll find it hard to forgive. You'll find it hard to turn the other cheek. You will find it hard to love your enemies as you love your neighbors. You'll find it hard to love your neighbor as yourself. So as our first formula from God's holy word this morning comes from our passage, our next formula comes from 1 Timothy, and it is written in chapter 4, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the world, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. This could be a whole sermon or a whole less passage of sermons on itself. But for us to look at it as a formula from God, to work on our hearts, to work on our faith, to walk by faith, being able to be an example to one another in our conduct, in our word, controlling our tongues, controlling our actions, being in love, being in the Spirit of God, walking by faith, being pure and righteous in God's holy sight. I can't say, can't let no one despise your youth. I can tell you young people that, but us old folks, we need to be cautious and don't despise someone because of their youth. We need to be encouraging them to follow these formulas that will work on their hearts. We need to have the confidence and experience to direct them to do that in our lives. But if I was to ask God, well, how's this first part of this formula work? How can I be an example in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and impurity? And God says, give attention to reading. Give attention to exhortation. Give attention to doctrine, to my words and my will. And what happens if I don't do any of those things? What formula? I am neglecting the gift that is in me. We are neglecting the gift God has given us, the Holy Spirit. We wonder sometimes how we don't feel right with God. Sometimes it's because we're not being an example, we're not giving attention to these things in His formula for us. And it takes time. Lucas, how many formulas have you learned so far in your engineering program at Purdue?
A bunch.
Okay. Maybe hundreds. By the time you get done, maybe over 100. At least tens, right? At least tens. You just read through them all once and you're done, right? No? You have to what? Practice them. You have to meditate on those things, right? It's odd, but the same formulas in God's holy word actually work to follow in things that we do in our careers, in our jobs, in our educations, in our relationships with one another. But it takes time to meditate on these things. I don't know about you, it takes time to pray. Takes time to be an example. Takes time to give attention to reading and to doctrine. To meditate on these things. Well, okay, I'm going to be a monk. I'm going to give myself entirely to them. Is that what that passage means? Well, okay, who's going to? Somebody has to be somebody, right? Okay, who's somebody? Everybody is somebody. So to take this passage in, I'm going to give up on all the normal things I do and I'm going to totally change my whole life. God doesn't want you to change your whole life. He wants you to change your heart. Serve Him wherever you are, whatever He's blessed you with, wherever you're at right now. His formulas are not made to wait on. Lucas is going to find in life sometimes the formulas he's learned, he can apply it here and he can apply it here and he can apply it there. The unique thing about God's holy word is almost all His formulas work all the time, every time, every day in our lives. Can you tell me that this is the day I'm not going to be an example? This is a day I'm not really going to pay attention to the gift that's been given me? This is the day I'm not going to read or pay attention to the doctrine of God? No. But in order to do that, God's holy word, this formula is given to us to meditate on these things Give yourself entirely to them. Why? Progress. Progress in your faith to be able to edify one another. We're going to look at some other passages and formulas that focus us on helping edifying one another this morning. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them. This is obviously, and God's holy word never leaves us to me. It never leaves me questioning, what do you want, God? What do you want? Why would I have to do all these things? Why do you want my heart to be right? Same reason why he wants everybody. Not just Don. It's not a message or a formula for Don. It's a message for all those that he's created that he wants to have a relationship with. In doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's very, very powerful. The formula all the way down to the end, the conclusion is, and you're doing this. Lucas, I looked for a picture of the formula and the stuff you did on the board in the shop that time about toe in and toe out and all that. In all this conclusion, yeah, we're doing pretty good. And we can make that same assumption as we look through this. To edify and encourage one another and show our appreciation for one another. We talked about that in Bible class Wednesday night. It helps. We help each other by being an example, by not neglecting our gift, by meditating on these things. Continuing in 1 Timothy, but in chapter 6, it is written, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Obviously, the formula is kind of simple here. But in my life, I don't know about you. If you guys are all, you know, each and every day I'm content, everything's good. Well, was Jesus content and everything good every single day he walked on the earth? Or did he have some ups and downs that he had to face? Did he have to rely on the word of God to direct his path? How many times did he say is written to those around him and maybe to encourage himself, to remind himself to stay committed? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, you know what? What happens if you take godliness out of the formula? Contentment is great gain. I can be content with what I got. I'm cool with just food and clothing. Now, I don't know about you guys, but here's my take. If you remove godliness from it, then just contentment with food and clothing, you'll be okay. But that's not sufficient enough for us. It's godliness with contentment. Because see, let's ask, does God just want us to have food and clothing? Let's ask a simple question, apply this formula to that. Does God just want us to have, let's look at God's holy word, his book of love. I just want you to have food and clothing. You should be content. Just get along with everybody. It's all good. The world is much more complex than that. We are much more complex than that. That eliminates godliness and being like God. So it eliminates love. It eliminates forgiveness. All those things if you don't include godliness, who God is, as part of being content. Knowing that he's created all things. Knowing he's opened up the gospel to all people. Knowing that he loves us unconditionally. The examples that he did presented through Jesus, his son. God wants to bless us. He's given us his holy word that blessings and favor spiritually and physically are from Him. All things that are good. There's times in my life I've struggled with being content. And I know God's holy word says we shall be content if I'm following Jesus and I'm being godly in my life. I'm going to be thankful for what? I'm going to be content with what I have. Does that mean that I won't get more or I don't want more? No. It means I'm content with following Him with whatever He's blessed me with. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it is written, "This is a faithful saying, if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Remind them of these things. Charge them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer." A formula for our hearts from God is one, and I just noticed this as I read this, but you know what? People come and go. People are going to disappoint us, but He remains faithful. I wish I had highlighted that. He remains faithful. No matter what happens in our lives, He remains faithful. But how many of us strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers? I'll give you an example. I really like to talk about politics and my feelings about politics and government and the world history and what God expects of us and those things. But there's sometimes people just don't even want to hear that. They don't want to hear my opinions, or they don't even want to talk about those things. For me, I need to be diligent and present myself approved to God, not be ashamed. Sometimes you don't want to cast your pearls before swine. I don't know about you, but sometimes you don't know until you do that. But you got to be a worker in order to be a worker who's not ashamed, okay? And you got to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. So I ask, how do I stay away from the things that are no profit and ruin hearers? Part of the formula. Here's what he's saying. Here's what the formula is about, potentially. I'm just going to ask us to look at it that way. What can I do? I can be diligent to present myself approved to God. Self-control. Pay attention to my thoughts and my mind and my actions and my words. And that means a worker who does not need to be ashamed. I'm doing the right thing. I'm following Jesus. I'm walking by faith. And how do I do that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Having God's word working on my heart. Now it says, but shun these things in God's word. You notice it doesn't say kill all those people. There's obviously, you know. It says recognize what sin is and stay away from those things. Don't become just like them when you're trying to win an argument. I don't know about you, but I like to win arguments. And then I need to look at my Savior. What point in time did Jesus win an argument? Most of the time, how he won an argument is say, it is written. And a lot of times when we want to win an argument, we want to say, I feel, I think. And we should be saying like Jesus, it is written. Which is rightly dividing the word of truth when we come upon those situations in our lives. Make no mistake, we have formulas from God to be successful in everyday life and the things we come into. In Titus 2, it is written, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." If you look at some of our other formulas we've already looked at, about praying about things, about having self-control, about what's right to be godly and be content in that, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." What about this person? What about that person? What about, how many what ifs happen to come our way? When we're trying to reason with somebody and help them convert their heart to Jesus, what if? We need to be cautious when we hear that what if or what about. When we either tempted in our minds or we're trying to reason with somebody. Because God is powerful enough and loves everybody. He has a plan for everybody. And it's not my right or ours to put our... The minute we say what if and what about, I'm not talking about we need to understand and learn things and apply God's formulas to life. But when we try to justify sin and remove God's power and presence and providence in this world by saying what if, we need to deny that ungodliness and that worldly lust and be sober and righteous and godly and zealous for good works. Not zealous for winning an argument of what ifs, zealous for good works. Jesus could win every single argument that was brought before him. The majority of the time he said, "It is written, you do not know what God's will and God's heart is. You don't know what love is all about." You need to remind yourselves and those people to exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. It's very tough to follow this formula without knowing God's word. To study and show yourself approved. We have a couple more passages. Hebrews chapter 10. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." A formula of having boldness, drawing near to the heart of God, full assurance of faith, holding fast our confession, considering one another to stir up love and good works. That'd be a good t-shirt. That'd be a good bumper sticker. Today I'm going to stir up love and good works. Not that I'm going to be right all the time. Not that I'm going to win the argument. I want to stir up love and good works. Let's work on that by exhorting one another to do those things. Our last passage this morning is one of my favorites. It's one of my go-to passages. There's so many favorites. And because of time, I'm going to read the highlighted stuff. Actually, I'm going to read the whole passage. I can't. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a formula there. There's a whole bunch of formulas there, but they're all tied together in one short passage to say God's word is complete to direct our hearts and minds. To be diligent, to be full of love. Closing this morning, I plead and pray for us to continue looking at God's holy word as formulas to work on our heart, to change us, to be better, to help us be more faithful in our walk, more committed, more dedicated, more encouraging and edifying to one another. Pray and have confidence in the Lord. Be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Give attention to reading and exhortation to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We shall be content. Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Zealous for good works, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Having boldness, draw near with a true heart, of full assurance of faith. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, exhorting one another. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If you haven't committed your life to Jesus, had your sins washed away, and become a child of God, we invite you to do that this morning. If you want prayers of congregation, or if there's some formulas we've looked at this morning that are working on your heart, pray to God about them if they continue to work on your heart to make you all you can be. We offer an invitation to make your heart right with God as we stand and sing a selected song this morning.